Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
This is something you look forward to every month. It's our literature unit for the month. And, of course, I know that people here in Taiwan are voracious readers.
Ooh, what does that mean, voracious?
Just means you really enjoy it and you do it a lot, with a lot of gusto and a lot of pleasure.
We use it a lot when we talk about eating. You know, if someone's eating like a pig, they're inhaling food, you know, just throwing it in. They're voracious. They have a voracious appetite.
But in any case, I do know that people here do love to read, and reading is a good way to better your English studies.
Yeah, totally.
And so we're going to introduce a more modern novel to you. This could be a novel that young people enjoy, and so this is something you ought to check out. And also, this particular novel that we're talking about was made into a movie about 5 years ago, so you could also watch the movie as well to see how much you understand and compare and contrast the novel and the movie. They're always different. But in any case here, the featured novel of today, or for today, is The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I think it's a really great way to, especially in a second language or third language, fourth language, for some of you guys out there, you're so smart, to actually try to get the book, get the book in hand, read the book, and then see the movie or vice versa, if it'll help you out a little bit. But it's always fun to see it on the big screen. Right now, guys, as we always do, we're going to read through day one, which is a summary of the plot. Charlie is a 15-year-old who is entering his first year of high school. He's a typical wallflower. Charlie is having issues dealing with the passing of two people he was close to. One death occurred recently when his only friend committed suicide. The other was the death of his Aunt Helen, who was killed in a car accident on Christmas Eve. As his first year in high school is starting, Charlie feels anxious. However, he begins to come out of his shell after he befriends Patrick and Patrick's stepsister, Sam. Charlie falls in love with Sam at first sight, but she treats him like a kid brother. Patrick is gay and is involved in a secret relationship with Brad, the school's football star. Over time, Patrick and Sam introduce Charlie to their group of friends, and his social life improves. His new friends then introduce him to drugs and alcohol. Things are a bit tougher at home, though. Charlie learns that his sister's boyfriend mistreats her and reports the abuse. She's mad at Charlie for this at first, but later this brings them closer. When Brad's father learns that his son is gay, he forbids him from seeing Patrick. One day in the school cafeteria, Brad's teammates beat Patrick up. Charlie defends Patrick and breaks up the fight, winning Sam's respect. After that, Charlie and Sam begin dating. Nevertheless, Charlie feels nervous when they start to make out because it evokes repressed memories of Aunt Helen, who molested him when he was a child. Shortly after, he suffers a breakdown and is taken to a mental institution. There, he decides to forgive Aunt Helen for what she did to him. At the end of the story, Charlie vows to become more outgoing and to live a happier life.
It's now time to discuss the contents of today's lesson. We are summarizing our featured novel, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. We should explain that, the perks of something. Perks means advantages, special
benefits.
Things you get, benefits. The perks of working for a certain company, for example.
Yeah.
A company car, paid vacation, a big fat year-end bonus, insurance, dental insurance, stuff like that. Those are all the perks. So, yeah, if you're a wallflower, that means you're usually someone who's awkward. You feel kind of out of place. You're an outsider at a party. You don't have anybody to dance with. Usually we think of a wallflower as being a girl, but it could apply to both, and the wallflower in this particular story is actually a boy.
Yeah, we think of them as girls because a wallflower is someone who at a dance or a party just hangs close to the wall and is not talking to anybody, and it dances. Typically, the guy asks the girl to dance, although in today's world, you know, anybody could ask anybody. So the girl was left you know, with no one to dance with. So, yeah, this is interesting that they're taking the wallflower and they're using it to describe this kid, Charlie, in our book. So it's a portrait of a wallflower as a young man. And when you talk about a portrait of somebody, it's kind of a description of this person. It could be through words that they describe the person, or it could be perhaps a photo of somebody, a portrait. If it's a portrait of somebody, it's just usually their head and shoulders, could be their whole full-length body, but a portrait can also be a painting of somebody. But we often use portrait to talk about how people are described in books, and that's what we're doing with the word here, portrait, because we're going to be telling you about Charlie the Wallflower.
Now, you mentioned the protagonist's name here, the main character.
Yeah.
His name is Charlie. Charlie is a 15-year-old who is entering his first year of high school. That means he's a freshman, and he's a typical wallflower. Typical just means common, the kind of thing that you would expect a wallflower to be. Nothing special, but a wallflower, typical. Typical teenager, you just basically are the example, the style of that particular thing.
Yeah. So you're not unusual. If you thought of a wallflower, you'd kind of think of this person. Title, A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, that Tom was talking about, was a novel by the very famous author James Joyce. I'm not a big fan of James Joyce, though. He has that, you know, what's it called? The stream of consciousness.
All right,
writing.
Right. Yeah, it might be good, difficult for people to
kind
read.
Of hard to read for if it's not your native language. But let's get back to the story. We've got this typical wallflower. I could say I'm a typical soprano, you know. I do things that other sopranos do. Maybe Tom's a typical guy. He likes sports. He likes food. He likes, you know, stuff like that. So Charlie's having issues dealing with the passing of two people. So he's got two people in his life who have died or passed away, and he's having issues or problems with this because he was close to these people.
Yeah, I've never had that happen to me before, but I can imagine this would be devastating if your best friend did himself in,
yeah.
Committed suicide, etc. The other was the death of his Aunt Helen, and Helen died in a car accident on Christmas Eve. What a terrible time to die. You're about ready to go home and open presents from Santa Claus, and then the phone rings, and you get the news that your aunt has just passed away in a car accident. So those, of course, can be very devastating for a young man. Well, at his first year in high school is starting, as his first year in high school is starting, Charlie feels anxious. If you're anxious, you're kind of nervous, you're not really sure what's going on. You feel worry, you're nervous about something. You might feel anxious before you meet your blind date, for example. You might feel anxious before your first day of college or something.
I feel anxious going to the dentist.
I'm okay, actually, with the dentist.
I don't like the dentist.
It's just something you got to go through. You got to have it done. So yeah, they usually give you the injection, and you usually don't feel that much pain. So I don't fear the dentist the way a lot of people do.
I do.
But in any case, yeah, you feel anxious before you go to see the dentist. But Charlie feels anxious as he's starting high school here. That's typical. However, he begins to come out of his shell after he befriends Patrick and Patrick's stepsister, Sam. Sam is probably short for Samantha.
Mm-hmm.
So he begins to come out of his shell. If you come out of your shell, that means you're less shy. You start talking to people. You're no longer anxious. And you're probably just like pretty much everybody else.
Yeah, and this word befriend, if you befriend somebody, just means you make friends with somebody. That was one of the hard things for me when I was learning Chinese, because I'd want to say 做朋友, but that's not what you guys say. We make friends. Don't translate that into Chinese, though. It doesn't work. Mm. To befriend somebody is a little more formal, though, than to say, yeah, I made friends with Carol. So I befriended Carol, is what we would say. But we use it a lot in writing, so be aware of that little word there. A stepsister is someone who you're not actually related to by blood, but either your mom or dad married somebody who had a child already. And that's a stepsister. So Patrick has a sister, but a stepsister, Sam. Charlie falls in love with Sam because you know what? She's beautiful. And Emma Watson, who plays the part in the movie, is beautiful. If you fall in love at first sight, oh my gosh, you don't even need to talk to them. You just look at them from across the room and you're in love. And it happens to some people.
Love at first sight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't think guys necessarily fall in love at first sight because of beauty only, you know. Maybe they like their personality and stuff. They like their interests and stuff. But, yeah, being pretty actually is something that, you know, wins a guy's heart more than anything else, I think.
Well, it helps, usually, doesn't it? Yeah, it gets
certainly
their attention. Yeah,
yeah, you got to get somebody's attention at first there. But in any case, they're not related. Charlie and Sam are not related. So, of course, he falls in love with her at first sight. But as we find out later, Sam is pretty much already taken. But she treats him like a kid brother. So I guess that might be the reason she's already involved in a relationship with somebody else. So Sam here treats Charlie as if he were her brother.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll find out what happens in the story later on. Right now, we're going to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好，我是 Trevor， 欢迎收听 English Digest。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 15文学单元的第一天课程。小说的名称是 The Perks of Being a Wildflower， 壁花男孩。这本小说曾被改编为电影，男主角 Charlie 是由演过波西·杰克森的 Logan Lerman 所饰演，女主角 Sam 则是由 Emma Watson 饰演。无论是小说还是电影都相当受到欢迎。文章的第一段提到，主角 Charlie 是个典型的壁花男孩，刚就读高中一年级，他不知如何面对两个对他而言很亲密的人的死亡。我们看到第一段的第三句用 one death 开头，接着下一句用 the other 开头。当我们要列举有限定的两个人事物时，第一个我们用 one， 剩下的另一个则是用 the other。 例如 There are two books on my deskOne is a detective novel, the other is a dictionary. 我的书桌上有两本书，一本是侦探小说，剩下的另一本是字典。如果要列举没限定范围的其中两个，则是用 one 和 another。例如 ,The skirt is too old-fashioned. I don't like this one. Please give me another. 这条裙子太过时了，我不喜欢这条，请给我另一条。因此，当你形容你的两只手的时候，一只手用 one， 另一只手用 the other， 不可以用 another， 不然就代表你至少有三只手了。例如 ，One of my hand is holding a shopping bag， and the other is holding a gift box。我的一只手提着购物袋，另一只手拿着礼物盒。文章的第二段提到 ，Charlie 后来认识了一对兄妹 ，Sam 和 Patrick。Sam 和 Patrick 介绍 Charlie 认识他们的朋友圈， Charlie 的社交生活也因此有了改善。我们看到这一段的第二句， However, he begins to come out of his shell after he befriends Patrick and Patrick's stepsister, Sam. 不过在他和派屈克及派屈克的继妹山交朋友后，他开始不再羞怯。这句有个片语 Come out of one's shellShell 是壳或贝壳，走出自己的壳就是指 becoming less shy and more confident and willing to talk to people。 另外这句有一个动词 befriend， 后面直接接名词，是和什么什么交朋友的意思，相当于 make friends with。 例如 I befriended Kevin when I was studying in college，当我在大学就读时，和凯文成为了朋友。另外，因为社群网站的流行，牛津字典在2009年收录了一个新动词 unfriend， U-N-F-R-I-E-N-D， 意思就是指把某人从好友名单中删除。例如 How dare my son unfriend me on his Facebook？ 我儿子竟然敢把我从他的脸书好友名单中删除。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. We're talking about a book called The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Is that what it is?
That's it. The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
The Perks. What are the perks of being a wallflower? Because usually when people think of a wallflower, there's really nothing good about being a wallflower. So it's an interesting title for this book. We're talking about Charlie, who is the lead character, the protagonist, as we call them, in novels and even in, I guess, drama and plays and screenplays for movies. He's a protagonist. We're following his story, and we found out that he's pretty shy, and he's had to deal with some death issues, which is always hard. His friend committed suicide, which is horrible, and he also had an Aunt Helen who was killed in a car accident on Christmas Eve. We're going to learn more about her in a minute. So don't feel too sorry for her because she's not a good person. So anyway, he's in his first year in high school. He's feeling a little anxious, nervous, you know, doesn't feel a lot of confidence. And he does begin to come out of his shell or start to get to know people when he makes friends with Patrick and Patrick's stepsister, the very attractive Sam.
Mm-hmm. So again, as we said, Charlie falls in love with Sam at first sight. Love at first sight. But she treats him like a kid brother, so he's probably going to have to do some things to, you know, get her romantically interested in him. And we find out here, it turns out that Patrick is gay. And he is involved in a secret relationship with Brad, who just happens to be the school's football star. Ooh, wow, that's pretty unusual there. So Patrick, again, the friend, is actually gay. That means he prefers romantic relationships with men instead of girls. It doesn't mean he hates girls. It just means he likes men. So Patrick is gay, and he actually has some kind of relationship going on with Brad, and he's the football star. He could be the quarterback, you know. I guess we're talking about American football here, where you have that ball that's shaped like an olive, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's not rugby. It's American football, like the NFL, the Super Bowl, stuff like that. So he's the star, so I guess he's probably the quarterback.
Yeah. So over time, Patrick and Sam introduce Charlie to their group of friends, and his social life improves. He probably has more friends that will talk to him at school, and he can hang out with them on the weekends. But these new friends aren't so great because they introduce him to drugs and to alcohol. Now, in the United States, you can't drink until you're 21. I think here it's 18. Drugs are illegal drugs we're talking about, like marijuana, cocaine, crack, you know, terrible things. Usually in high school, it's more pot, which is marijuana. But it gets, you know, it gets more and more serious as kids start taking harder drugs, we call it. So alcohol, we know what that is. It's the beer, wine. And if you drink alcohol, you can get drunk and you do really stupid things sometimes.
Yes, you do. And, well, this is more part of American culture than it is here in Taiwan.
Yeah.
It's a big deal in the U.S. Lots of people like to get together and have parties. They have keggers and they drink and stuff like that. And sometimes they do drugs as well, which you said, marijuana, cocaine, etc. And alcohol refers to all types of alcohol. And wine refers specifically to alcoholic beverages made from grapes, like from France, for example. Now, things are a bit tougher at home, though. So Charlie is getting along with some new friends, even though they're doing drugs and alcohol. Still, they're friends. They chat. They have a good time. They laugh. But things are tougher at home. Here, tough means difficult, okay? He probably has a bad home. There's some trouble there, some conflict there. Lots of people do have problems at home. Maybe their parents are too strict, or their father or mother are heavy drinkers, or they beat their children or whatever, or maybe one of them is having an affair or something like that. Those could be problems at home. So again, here at Charlie's home, there are some problems.
Yeah, they really do have some problems. We're going to find out how serious they are. So he's got to kind of, you know, deal with what he's going through at high school and also at home. So it's hard. He learns that his sister's boyfriend mistreats her. you know, and that's pretty serious. And he reports the abuse, which means he probably went in andeither told his high school counselors, that's what the counselors are good for. You can tell them, you know, about some things that are happening at home. And sometimes they'll contact the police. Or maybe he actually contacted the police about it.Or talk to the boyfriend's parents. We don't know. But he reported the abuse. Now, abuse is an interesting word. This is the noun form of the word. When you abuse somebody, you hurt them. But notice that the verb has a different pronunciation. You use the Z sound, abuse, and the noun is abuse. So be careful with those. Sorry about that. English does that a lot, actually. And it's kind of crazy. It's easier for us because we grow up hearing these words, so it's easier. So you're going to have to spend a couple more minutes memorizing those. So if you mistreat someone, you don't treat them well. That miss means bad. So he treats his girlfriend horribly. I would never put up with that, I have to tell you. Now, she's mad at Charlie.Charlie's sister's mad at him because, hey, you know, it probably broke up her relationship with this really rotten boyfriend. But that happens sometimes. You're trying to help somebody andthey don't always thank you because sometimes those relationships thenbreak up. So she's mad at him for this at first. But guess what? Later on, she forgives him and realizes that Charlie was trying to help her and the relationship is closer.
Exactly. So maybe at first she thought, oh, why don't you butt out? Why don't you mind your own business? This is between me and my boyfriend. You just stay out of this. But later on, she realizes that she's probably trying to help her and thatshe's probably been taking this abuse for a long time. And it's about time she changes things around, etc. So let's move on now to some other issues. Remember, Brad is the star of the football team. He's one of Charlie's new friends. And Brad is involved with Patrick in a gay relationship here. And when Brad's father learns that his son is gay, he forbids him from seeing Patrick. So the father probably doesn't like the fact that his son, his fine young son, has turned out gay. So he doesn't like that. And he says, you're not going to see Patrick anymore. He forbids him from seeing Patrick. If you forbid someone from doing something, you just don't let them do that.
Right. So one day in the school cafeteria, where all the kids go at lunch and, you know, get their trays of food to eat. Brad's teammates, remember Brad is the big football player, his teammates beat Patrick up, which is horrible. Charlie then defends Patrick and breaks up the fight. So that leads to him winning Sam's respect. Remember, he fell in love with Sam at first sight. She treated him like a little brother. And now she sees that Charlie's a good guy and he's actually protecting Sam's stepbrother. So anyway, there they go. After that, things change for Charlie. And Charlie gets to begin dating the beautiful Sam.
And nevertheless, though, still, Charlie feels nervous when they start to make out because it evokes repressed memories of Aunt Helen, who molested him when he was a child. Now, usually when a boy is given the chance to make out with a girl,
which means kiss, right?
You get a hugger, you get a kisser and stuff like that. So, of course, most boys get all excited about that. But no, he's kind of nervous about this because it evokes bad memories. To evoke means to call something forward, to remind you of that thing, to trigger it, to bring it out. And these are repressed memories, memories that he just doesn't think about. He's repressed them. He's just tried to forget about them. But these memories come back. It's all about Aunt Helen. And Aunt Helen molested him when he was a child. To molest means, you know, do something to a kid that you're not supposed to.
Yeah, you're doing something sexually to a child, which is so bad. Anyway, after that, he suffers a breakdown. We're talking about a mental breakdown. And when you have a mental breakdown, you are typically taken to recover at a mental hospital or a mental institution. And there he decides to forgive that creepy Aunt Helen for what she did to him. I know it's good to forgive people who have hurt us, but ooh, she's creepy. At the end of the story, Charlie vows, if you vow to do something, guys, you promise with all your heart. He vows to become more outgoing, and to live a happier life. If you're outgoing, guys, you're not afraid to talk to people. You enjoy making friends. You laugh a lot. You like to hang out socially. It's a good way to live if you can do it. And right now, guys, we are running out of time, so we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
我们接着看到第二段的倒数第二句。Charlie learns that his sister's boyfriend mistreats her and reports the abuse. 查理得知他姐姐的男朋友虐待他，并且举报这起虐待事件。Abuse 在本句中当名词用，有虐待、凌虐的意思。Susan is devoted to protecting children from physical and mental abuse. 苏珊致力于保护孩童免于身体和精神上的虐待。Abuse 还有滥用的意思。Abuse of privilege, P-R-I-V-I-L-E-G-E, 就是滥用特权。Abuse of power, 就是滥用权力。例如 ,The governmental official was removed from office because abuse of power. 这位政府官员因为滥用权力而被免职。另外 ,drug abuse 就是指滥用毒品。Alcohol abuse 就是指酗酒。例如 ,The celebrity is suspected to have died of drug abuse. 这位名人疑似死于滥用毒品。文章的最后一段提到 ,Charlie 在和 Sam 更进一步交往时常常会有心理障碍。因为他会回想起不好的回忆。我们看到这一段第五句的后半部分。后半部分用一个 who 开头的形容字子句来修饰前面的先行词 Aunt Helen。并且 who 前面有一个逗号，这个是关系代名词的非限定用法。当先行词有独一无二的特性，或非常明确的时候，这时候冠带前面就会加上逗号，尤其是当先行词是专有名词的时候。例如 ,The city where I grew up is Taipei, 逗号 ,which is one of the most busiest cities in Taiwan. 台北是我长大的城市，它是台湾最忙碌的城市之一。因此提醒大家，在写作的时候，如果写到自己的爸妈，记得冠带前面要加逗号，不然就变成你有很多个爸妈，而你在形容的是其中一个。以上就是今天的课程，我们下次再会。
Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of our program for today. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.